May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia of Yisrael Ava, Feature Beach, Kiva Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. So now it's time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel, Buffalo Bill, and I'd like to serve as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Yedidia Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is "The Whole Christian World Is Not in Unity with the House of Yahweh." Sunday worship is not the day we worship. The whole Christian world fights against the laws of Yahweh, especially the fourth commandment. So the whole Christian world fights against the tenth commandment, the Ten Commandments, especially the fourth one. And the fourth commandment is to keep the seventh day holy. Yahweh did not say keep Sunday holy. Yahweh said keep the seventh day Sabbath holy. So in Exodus 20, if you can turn over to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. And it reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your heavenly Father. In it you shall do no work." So you should do no work on the seventh day Sabbath, none of your own work. "You, nor your wife, nor your sons, nor your daughters, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who dwells within your gate." So no one who dwells in your gate and is in your surroundings should do any work or any of their own work on the seventh day Sabbath. "For in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything which is in it, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So, in the Webster's Dictionary, if you look up the word hallowed, hallowed means to make or set apart as holy. So, Yahweh set his seventh-day Sabbath apart as holy, and he hallowed it. So, you should keep the seventh-day Sabbath holy, and you should keep it holy as Yahweh kept it holy. And Yahweh keeps his appointment with his children, and we should keep our appointment with our fathers. So the majority of the Christian world says it doesn't matter which day you worship. You can worship on Sunday and any day of the week. But it may not matter to them, but it certainly matters to Yahweh and the house of Yahweh, right? Yahweh is the one who set the seventh-day Sabbath apart as holy. And he did not authorize any changes. He did not give any scriptural authority to change the seventh-day Sabbath. You should keep the seventh-day holy as your Father commanded you. If you can turn over to Yochanan 5:19. First Yochanan 5:19. First Yochanan 5:19. And it reads, "We know that we belong to Yahweh, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one." The whole world is under the control of the evil one. And we know that we belong to Yahweh. If you can turn over to Revelation 12:9. Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. She was cast out into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her. So the old serpent who deceived the whole world, Satan the devil, and she deceived the whole world to worship in on Sunday and to break the Ten Commandments and to break the laws of Yahweh. But we know that we should keep the Ten Commandments and we should keep the Sabbath day holy. If you can turn over to 1 Yochanan 3, 4, 8, 3, 4 through 8. And it reads, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Whoever commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And anyone who goes to church on Sunday, rather than keep the seventh day Sabbath holy, is under the control of the evil one, Satan the devil. They are under the control of the evil one. He is deceived and is committing a sin. Whoever worships on Sunday rather than keep the seventh day holy is under the control of the evil one, and he is committing a sin. You should keep the seventh day Sabbath holy as your Father has commanded you. And if you remember in Romans 6:23, the Apostle Shaul told us the wages of sin, what the wages of sin were. So if you can turn over to Romans 6:23. And it reads, For the wages of sin is death. So whoever sins, the wages of it is death. So if you break the seventh day and keep the seventh day on Sunday, then you are sinning and the wages is death. If you break the Ten Commandments and go and commit adultery and go do all the things that the gods are doing now, the wages of sin is death. And like I said before, anyone who goes to church on Sunday, rather than obey Yahweh by keeping his seventh-day Sabbath holy, is under the control of the evil one. Do not be deceived. Sunday worship is devil worship. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
And now, if you all please remain standing, I have the privilege and honor to present to you our first speaker, Son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Melchizedek.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, today I'd like to speak on the subject of peace forever. Now, the word peace in the Webster's Dictionary, it means the absence of war or other hostilities, an agreement or treaty to end hostility, freedom from quarrels and disagreements. And so, in the 10th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 8, and verse 11, what it says, but when you come here and you don't repent and you bring your sins with you, and those sins will eventually keep growing and outweighing your thoughts of ever wanting to find true peace again. It says, but the true peace is offered at Yahweh's house. True joy is offered here at his house. It's the only place on earth you can find it. Now, this is the only place where you can find true peace in the earth. You won't find it anywhere else except for the house of Yahweh. And out in the world, you find war and things like that. And if you can see this here, but this is the number of armed conflicts and wars, and this is from 1946 to 2014, you could see it, how it keeps on growing and so on, and because they don't have true peace in the world today. And I have a list here. It says, it's from Wikipedia, it's the list of ongoing conflicts. And if you can see here, there's a map, and it shows you from, you can see it right there, but it shows how where all the wars are being fought around the world. And the cost of the war, it says that the United States federal government has spent or obligated $4.4 trillion on wars in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq. And these are only three wars, but it spent $4.4 trillion on these three wars alone. It says war-related increases to the Pentagon-based budget, like veteran care and disabilities, increase in homeland security budget, interest payments on direct war borrowing, foreign assistance spending, and estimated future obligations for veterans care. And it says that in 2053 that the payments get interest over $7 trillion. And so the world doesn't have any answers for their problems. And they keep on saying, let's do this and that, and it never works out. But if we look over to the book of Deuteronomy, all of this was prophesied in advance by Yahweh's prophets. But in Deuteronomy, it's chapter 28, and it starts off on verse 28. And it says, Yahweh will afflict you with madness and spiritual blindness and confusion of the mind. It says, and you shall grope at noonday, reduce to blind helplessness, just like a blind man gropes in the darkness. You will not be successful in any of your ways. You will be oppressed and robbed continually with no one to rescue you. And so the world has no answers. And let me take the example of the school shootings for a second. Most people say, well, why don't we take away all the guns? And then other people say, well, why don't we give everyone a gun? And so they go back and forth here, but they have no answer to their problems. The problems are only getting worse. And so in the 10th book of Yisrael, it's part 2, it's chapter 4 and verse 9. And see there. It says, think about it. You know, are you really sure that you want your child to be out there in the world? Are you sure that you want that? Are you sure? I mean, even a fool right now can see that the world is sinking, brethren. I will show you some of that if I get time. But Yahweh says, Yahshua said, and remember this, he said, my peace should have been translated. I have given to you. Of course, this was a training, the training that has been going on here at the house of Yahweh. Some have latched onto it. Others have dismissed it, gone to drinking parties and smoking parties and whatever. Of course, each person is being judged for what they do and what they do, because they're offered this here. They're offered true peace, but they can choose it or they can reject it. And so only at the house of Yahweh do we find the true peace, the true joy, and the true love. And praise Yahweh. But we have a choice, like Pastor's telling us here, how we have a choice. And if we look over to the book of Deuteronomy, it's Deuteronomy 30, it's found on page 153, and it starts off on verse 15. And it says, see that I've set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction, and that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so that Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and you are drawn away to submit to God's Elohim, to worship them by serving them, I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. You will not prolong in the days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I've set before you life by life and death, blessings and curses, because you are a free agent to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. It says, therefore, choose life so that both you and your children may live, so that you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him and then obeying him. Hold fast to him, for he is your life. He will also give to you many years in the land he vowed to give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And in the 12th book of Yisrael, part 1, it's chapter 23 and verse 96. You can see that there. It says, he says, let's see, verse 13. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. Remember, rule by righteous decisions, not by sight or hearing, but by the laws of Yahweh. He will be a priest upon his throne in the council of peace. The council of peace. You don't find peace anywhere in the world today except right here in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Applause. It says, and the reason you find it is because you're following the laws of Yahweh and the example that Yahshua set. And in the 13th book of Yisrael, part 2, it's chapter 7, and it's verse 69, and it says, now everyone that Yahweh, that Moshe offered this protection, left Egypt. They left Egypt, yes, they went to Abilene, where they learned the laws of Yahweh. They had peace, joy, and love, and protection. Yes, the protection that was offered to them. And if you remember in Psalms, Psalms 91, it's talking about the protected place. And it says that he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, they'll be protected. And this is the house of Yahweh. Only the house of Yahweh at this time is protected from these things. But it says, yes, the protection was offered to him. And Samuel told him, if you want Yahweh's protection, then get rid of these gods that are leading you into sin and death. That's Samuel chapter 7 and 8. And it says, and Yahweh said, the same demon worship, the same God worship that they brought out of Egypt with them. And so at this, it's talking about here how the true peace, the joy, and the love is at the house of Yahweh. And we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make if we want to go out in the world, or if we want to stay here at the house of Yahweh and have this protection. But if we go into the world seeking for peace, this is what we're going to find. This is the only peace that this world has. Right there. Everyone can see that. Alright, so this is what the world has to offer right now. And this right here, if you can see that, that's a flamethrower. That's what they were using in that video there. And this, it kills people. They spray them with flames and it burns them to death. And if we look over to the book of Yada, it's chapter 1. Yada 1 and verse 10. And it says, but they speak evil to the things which they do not understand. But they do not know naturally, instinctively, like brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. In verse 11 it says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam, and for reward and have perished in the rebellion of Korah. And this right here, the way of Cain, it's this continual war, this vengeance and this retaliation. And this is what, if you go out in the world, this is what you're going to find. This is what you're going to find. There is no peace at this time in the world. And in the 13th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 20 and verse 65, you can see that. It says, well, where do you find God worship? It says, look at Genesis 3. Follow the pattern of sin mixed with righteousness, the tree of righteousness and evil. Yahweh put perfect pattern of peace in the tree in the garden and offered it to mankind. But they refused it because Satan said, go ahead and sin and you will be like the gods. Samuel said, put away the God worship. And this is what's bringing you war. This is why you have war right now. And Samuel, after they all repented, Samuel turned to Yahweh and said, okay, I've got them back in line again. Yahweh fought their battles for them. They didn't even have to lift the sword. They didn't have to. You don't have to. And so Yahweh will fight your battles for you. But instead, the world, since they're following the gods and the God worship, Yahweh won't fight their battles for them. And they have this continual war, this vengeance, and this retaliation. So with that, that's all the time I have. And if everyone will please stand, I'll turn it over to the great Kahan David.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. It's an honor and a privilege to address Yahweh's called out ones. You all may be seated. This past September 24th, we observed Yahweh's Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the beginning of Yahweh's year. So this past Day of Atonement began the sixth year of Yahweh's seven-year cycle of years. So this past Day of Atonement, the year 2016 began. And I have, hopefully you can all see that. The year 2016, the Hebrew number 2016, it means a turn, that is a reverse. And it comes from 2015, which means to turn about or over, by implication, to change, overturn, or return. And what this is speaking of is, so what is occurring is, it's speaking of the governments of the nations. There will be a change. Babylon is in the process of falling. There will soon be a return to the original government of Yahweh based on his 613 laws. And that's what these Hebrew dates are showing us. So the title of my sermon today is Yahweh's Year of Mercy. Yahweh's Year of Mercy. And what I'm referring to is the sixth year that we just entered into, which is the third tithe year. This is Yahweh's Year of Mercy. Now, Pope Francis, he has proclaimed what he calls, and I want, the Holy Year of Mercy. But before we go there, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 14 and look at verse 28. Yahweh's Year of Mercy, his third tithe year. So Deuteronomy 14 and verse 28. Toward the end of every third year, you shall bring forth all of your income designated that year, the third tithe, and store it up within your gates, the house of Yahweh. So the Levite, and here's one of the one who benefits from this additional tithe, the third tithe, the Levite, who is also allotted the first tithe, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. So they also benefit from the third tithe year. Who are within your gates may come to Yahweh's feast and eat and be satisfied, so Yahweh your Father may bless you in all the works of your hands. So here the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow benefit. But notice, we all benefit, because it says, so that Yahweh may bless, your Father may bless you in all the works of your hands. So everyone of the congregation of the house of Yahweh is blessed by participating and paying the third tithe. So this is Yahweh's Year of Mercy, his third tithe year. Now, Pope Francis, he has proclaimed his own Holy Year of Mercy. So I'm going to refer to it in the sermon here as the Pope Francis Holy Year of Mercy, so as not to confuse it with Yahweh's Year of Mercy. Now, so this is Pope Francis' Year of Mercy, published in an article by the Catholic Church, and there's the picture of the smiling Pope Francis, and it says the Pope has written to Archbishop Reno Fischischella, and in this letter to him, he talked about the Holy Year of Mercy. So the Vatican unveils logo, prayer, and details of Pope Francis' Holy Year of Mercy. And this is from the Catholic News Service, May 5th, 2015. The Holy Year of Mercy will be an opportunity to encourage Christians to meet people's real needs with concrete assistance, to experience a true pilgrimage, this is part of it, on foot, or by other means, I suppose, and to send missionaries of mercy. Now, in a later article I'm going to read here, it shows that these missionaries of mercy are Catholic priests, okay? And we know that they're not trustworthy. All we need to do is read the articles in a newspaper these days. Missionaries of mercy throughout the world to forgive even the most serious of sins, said Archbishop Reno Fischischella. To experience and obtain this indulgence. Okay, so now they're offering an indulgence. What is an indulgence? And we're going to get to that shortly. The faithful are called to make a pilgrimage to the holy door. What holy door is he talking about here? Open to every cathedral or in churches designated by the diocesan bishop in the four and in the four papal basilicas in Rome as a sign of the deep desire for true conversion. So what are they supposed to do when they get to the holy door? Well, if you look at what Francis does when he tours the world, he kisses. So I suppose they're supposed to kiss the door and make an offering in order to receive this indulgence. An indulgence, this is from Wikipedia. In the teaching of the Catholic Church, an indulgence is a way to reduce the amount of punishment. Now notice, he's not reducing or encouraging people to reduce the amount of sin. He's wanting to reduce the amount of punishment one has to undergo for sins, which may reduce either or both of the penance required after a sin has been forgiven, or after death, reduce the time to be spent in purgatory. And of course, purgatory in Catholic teaching is a mythical place somewhere between mythical heaven and mythical hell. And so an indulgence is supposed to be a way of getting you out of purgatory sooner. In the language of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, an indulgence is a remission before God of the temporal punishment due to sins. And of course, our earlier speaker here, he read Romans 6:23. Someone should tell Pope Francis that Romans says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior." This next slide here continues this letter. On Pope Francis' Holy Year of Mercy, and the Pope says, "I have asked the Church in this Jubilee year to rediscover the richness encompassed by the spiritual and corporal works of mercy." And I think Pastor said in a sermon last week that these spiritual and corporal works of mercy, for example, helping an old man or an old woman cross the street in heavy traffic, or feeding the poor on the holidays, that type of thing. The experience of mercy indeed becomes visible in the witness of the concrete signs, as Jesus himself taught, each time that one of the faithful personally performs one or more of these actions, he or she shall surely receive a jubilee indulgence. So here's more credits they can earn on their getting out of purgatory sooner. For this reason, too, I have decided, notwithstanding anything to the contrary, to concede to all priests, so these are the missionaries of mercy here that he's talking about, all priests, in the Jubilee year, the discretion to absolve the sin of abortion. So they don't teach their people what sin is, and so they get in trouble. And so now he's offering a resolution of this trouble they get into, absolving the sin of abortion. Those who have procured it and who with contrite heart seek forgiveness for it. And then this final consideration here concerns those faithful who for various reasons choose to attend churches officiated by the priests of the Fraternity of St. Pius X. These are some conservative priests who haven't followed some of the recent Pope's changes to Catholic doctrine. So he's looking for unity there. But notice the last line here. Trusting in the intercession of the Queen or the Mother of Mercy, and of course, here you go. His year of mercy, the Pope's holy year of mercy, is dedicated to the Queen of Heaven, to the dragon that energizes him. I entrust the preparations of this extraordinary Jubilee year to her protection. So, what's the dates for the Pope's Holy Year of Mercy? Pope Francis to formally proclaim Holy Year in front of Basilica's Holy Door. celebrating the first Vespers of Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, this all sounds pretty holy, but don't be fooled by it. Pope Francis formally will deliver the Bull of Indiction, these are their words, or proclamation of the ordinary of the extraordinary Holy Year of Mercy. Portions of the document will be read Saturday in front of the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica, the Vatican announced. The Holy Door, usually bricked up, is opened at the beginning of the Jubilee year. Now notice the dates on his Holy Year of Mercy here. December 8th, 2015 to November 20 of 2016. And I just have the Hebrew words on those dates here printed out. Okay, Pope Francis announces Holy Year of Mercy, December 8th through November 20th. 1208 is December 8th, and that means to clip off. It means inaccessible by height or fortification. To me, it means cut off from salvation. You know, there's no salvation in this, absolutely none. And then the word, 1120, November 20th, it means the heights of Baal, the heights of God worship, the highest form of God worship. That's what his Holy Year of Mercy is. So, is Pope Francis going to get the results he's hoping for in his Holy Year of Mercy? Will the Holy Year of Mercy announced by Pope Francis be successful? I'd like to show you from the prophetic word in January of 2012 the success that Pope Francis is going to achieve. This is a picture in the background, the pastor's beautiful face there in the front, but in the background, it's a picture from a French nuclear test in the Pacific in the 1970s. But that's a picture of what is going to result from Pope Francis' Holy Year of Mercy. Now let's go to Yahweh's Year of Mercy. We recently observed the Day of Atonement, September 24, 2015. The Day of Atonement is the beginning of Yahweh's year. This Day of Atonement began the sixth year in this seven-year cycle of years. In the eighth book of Israel, Yahweh's Last Day's witness, Yisrael Hawkins, brought 16 sermons on the mercy seat of Yahweh. In chapter 15, Pastor brought out the following. Hopefully you can all read that. He said in verse 18, Yochanan 1:1, in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. Pastor comments, well, the plan was to stop sin, not to mitigate the punishment, but to stop sin, as Daniel was inspired to write, to bring a total end to sin, and in this way, you would stop misery, stop ignorance, stop death, stop destruction. That is the mercy seat of Yahweh, the great plan of His. So you can see the difference between Pope Francis's plan and Yahweh's mercy. In verse 40 here, Yochanan 14, verse 31, but that the world may know that I, Yahshua, love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And then Pastor comments here explaining this. He said, well, of course, he gave Yahshua commandment, of course, to come and die, live the laws of Yahweh 100%, and then die out of mercy for the people. So that's Yahweh's mercy right there. In, if you look at Psalm 13, verse 5, you can turn there, just write it down. I have it printed out here. So Psalm 13, verse 5, but we have trusted in your great mercy, Yahweh. Our hearts shall rejoice in your salvation. And the word mercy, it's 2016, it means kindness. It means reproof. And it means beauty. All of these things are in the mercy of Yahweh. First, it comes from 26:16. It's a primitive root. It means to bow. It means, again, to reprove. And I've got a definition of reprove there. Reprove means admonish, to test, to try. I mean, this is the mercy of Yahweh, that we undergo the testing and the trying to prove, so that we can prove ourselves before Yahweh, that we'll honor his third tithe year, that we'll honor each and every one of his 613 laws. And you can turn to Exodus 20, verse 20, because this is where this word reprove comes in here. It says, Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, me, so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that we do not commit sin." So this is the mercy of Yahweh, his testing and trying. And, you know, even in Revelation 11, verse 10, this is what the two witnesses will do and are doing and have done. Because in the King James Version, it says, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Well, that word torment, it means test. It means rub up against the touchstone, the perfection, Yahweh's gold standard, his 613 laws. That's the testing that the witnesses bring forth to us and to the world in these last days. So the tests and trials that we go through are part of the mercy that Yahweh shows us. Is it an easy thing to pay third tithe? Every one of us will have their own answer to that question. But for me, I would say that it can be a hardship at times to pay third tithe, an additional 10% in the third tithe year. It's definitely a test. But like every law, it is a test that we must overcome. And the third tithe year is a law. Like every law, we must learn to love. It is part of Yahweh's mercy that he shows to us and also to those who benefit from the third tithe law. In Proverbs, you can write this down, Proverbs 14:21, "He who despises his brother sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, joyful he is." Another in Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely righteousness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever." We have that opportunity. And also for your notes, Proverbs 16, verse 6, "By mercy and truth," and we know that truth is Yahweh's 613 laws, his perfect government, his perfect system, "by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." Someone should point this out to Pope Francis. This is how iniquity is purged. "By reverence for Yahweh, men depart from evil." They don't, you know, they depart from evil. This by mercy and truth, by Yahweh's plan and Yahweh's laws. Let's turn, we've been there once already, but let's go back to Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28. "Every third year you shall bring forth all your income designated that year, the third tithe, and store it up in your gates, the house of Yahweh." 29, "So the Levite, who is also allotted the first tithe because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow." These are those who benefit because the Levite has additional resources available to bless those who have less. "And so they may come to Yahweh's feast and eat and be satisfied, so Yahweh your Father may bless you." And notice, we're the ones that are blessed by this, by paying the third tithe, "in all the works of your hands." From the second book of Israel here, going on to perfection, Pastor writes, verse 13, "Do you not know that those who minister in the service of the house of Yahweh get their food from the house of Yahweh, and that those who tend the altar partake with the altar?" Notice what he is speaking of here. Remember what the third tithe year is for. The law says not to forget the Levite. I've heard pastors say many times, I'm a Levite. So let's not forget the Levite. Let's give him the resources that Yahweh ordained for him to have. That was part of it, pastor says. The one who ministers to Yahweh. And then the second part there of second book of Israel. Verse 29, so the Levite, who is also allotted the first tithe, this is called the poor man's tithe or the poor man's law. It's in the law books. It's called the poor man's tithe because it is to help the poor. So you can also turn over to Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12. When you have finished setting aside your tithes in all of your income in the third tithe, the third year, which is the third year of Yahweh's 7-year cycle, is a third tithe year, and the sixth year is a third tithe year. So you've set aside your tithes in the third year. You shall give it for the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so they may eat in your gates and be satisfied. Then you shall vow in front of Yahweh your Father, I have removed this holy portion, my first tithe, from my house, and also I have given my third tithe for the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your laws which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your laws, nor have forgotten them. So what is Yahweh's year of mercy? It's his third tithe year we've entered into. It's the mercy and blessings Yahweh shows to the stranger, fatherless, widow, and Levite who benefit from the third tithe. This is Yahweh's year of mercy. It's an opportunity for us to pay third tithe. Now, how does Yahweh's third tithe year, which is the sixth year in his 7-year cycle of years, fit into Yahweh's prophesied plan in these last days? This slide here, I've titled it The Time of Trouble, starting at Passover 2011. I could have titled it Yahweh's Year of Release. I could have also titled it that. But look at the first date. This goes back to the first day of atonement of this 7-year cycle, started which was September 18th, 2010. 2010, Day of Atonement, start of the first year of the 7-year cycle. And then notice on 4/13, 2011, the start of the time of trouble. This is the 7 years that Daniel referred to as the time of trouble, the last 7 years that will be shortened. Then who came on the scene on March 19, 2013? Now, Pope Francis was elected on the 13th of March, but he didn't take his office until the 19th. So that's the date I'm using here. When the presidents of the United States, they're elected in November. But what day do they take office? I think it's January 20th. But that's when they're sworn into office. So Francis was inaugurated into office on the 19th of March, 2013. He's king number 8 since the Lateran Treaty was signed in 1929. He's the man of sin. He's the king of fierce expression, which means forced immorality. Fierce expression, forced immorality. He's the son of perdition, which means he's going into destruction. He's the last one. He was inaugurated into office of Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Francis is made to appear in the midst. It means he took his office. He took his position. He took his prophesied position on March 19th. Pope Francis begins 42 months, that's 1,260 days, war against all holiness. You know, I think the scripture says war against the saints, war against all holiness. The next date was the Day of Atonement this year, just 3 weeks ago, approximately 3 weeks ago, the Day of Atonement, the start of the sixth year of this 7-year cycle. And then, so notice the next event there. This is a future event. So August 30th, 2016, is the completion of Pope Francis makes war against the saints for 42 moons. This is 10 months from now. This is at hand. The time is at hand. And so then 30 days after that, 9/29/2016, the completion of the 1,290 days. Now I'll explain that a little more as we go along here. But that's when Pope Francis is removed from office. He's removed from office. And then notice, the next Day of Atonement, less than a year from now, on 10/13/2016, the start of Yahweh's seventh year, which the law says is the year of release. Yahweh's year of release, next Day of Atonement, less than a year from now. Today's 10/17, this is 10/13 coming up, a year from now. Okay, I'd like to just explain a little more some of those dates we just covered. Revelation 13, verse 5, and there was given to him a mouth speaking great things. And this is speaking to, given to Francis. Given to Francis, and those predecessors had the same thing, but this is specifically talking about Pope Francis here. A mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to make war for 42 months, 1,260 days. So Pope Francis inaugurated into the office of Pope. Now the date 3/19/2013, it means the last. He's the last. He's the last one. He's the son of perdition, the one that will go into destruction. He's the last or the end. He's the end of the line. Number 266, that's it. This next slide here. I don't know if you call them slides or printouts, but the next slide here is Revelation 13:5 again. A mouth speaking great things he was given, and given to make war for 42 moons. So the date there, August 30th, it's the completion of Pope Francis makes war against the saints for 42 months, 1,260 days. And the number 830, notice what it means. It means a heap of rubbish or filth. It means a dunghill. You know, this is what his office is going to become. A heap of rubbish or filth, a dunghill. A Hebrew word, 830. It's like, you know, removing the trash. You know, removing the trash. The next slide here. This one hopefully will explain. This one hopefully will explain the 1,290 days. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, there will be a time, or from that time, that the daily sacrifice will be taken away, and the Lord of Heaven set up, there will be 1,290 days. 1,290 days. So these phrases here, rearrange them and read them backwards. Read them as you would Hebrew. There will be, and I'll read it that way, there will be 1,290 days from the time that the Lord of Heaven, Pope Francis, is set up. He's inaugurated March 19th, 2013, until the daily sacrifice will be taken away. So there's a space of time there from when he's set up to when he's taken away. And the scripture I've got here about the daily sacrifice, Isaiah 1 verse 13. Do not bring, Francis, don't bring any more vain, idolatrous oblations. Your incense, Francis, is abominable to me, says Yahweh. The new moons and Sabbaths, your calling of assemblies, such as the holy year of mercy, Francis, your holy year of mercy, I cannot endure. Even the solemn meeting is iniquity. So it will be taken away. Pope Francis removed from office. And the scripture there is Daniel 8, verse 25. And through his, Pope Francis, policy, he will also cause craft, deceit, and fraud to succeed in his hand. And he's very successful at what he does. And he will magnify himself in his heart, and by peace will destroy many. He will also stand up against the Prince of Princes, Yeshua, but he will be broken or taken away without hands. Now this broken or taken away without hands, you know, the Philistines, when they came against Israel and Yahweh was with Israel, the Philistines destroyed themselves. And this system is going to implode upon itself, and this is part of it. If you want to, for your notes, Revelation 17, verse 12, and the ten horns, which you saw are ten kings, which as yet have not received the kingdom, but receive authority as kings, 1 hour with the beast. So these ten horns, they're working with Francis right now. In fact, there's ten religions in the country of Italy that receive the tax money for support of religions. The Catholic Church receives tax money, and these ten recognized religions in the state of Italy receive this tax money also. So they're right now receiving authority as kings, 1 hour with the beast, 3.5 years. 3.5 years, 1 hour, this time period. And verse 16, but notice what's going to occur to these ten horns, or what they're going to do. And the ten horns which you saw upon the beast, working with the beast, working with Francis, these will hate the whore, and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That sounds pretty serious. You know, it sounds like the completion of Daniel 8, verse 25 here. Him, broken without hands. If you look at Daniel for the next slide here. Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice will be taken away and the Lord of heaven set up, there will be 1,290 days. Pope Francis removed from office. So this date here, September 29, 2016, completion of 1,290 days, Pope Francis removed, that's Hebrew number 929, and it means to be mute, to be silent, to speak no more, to be mute, properly, a dumb beast. I mean, it defines this system perfectly. It defines the Vatican and the one who's in charge of the Vatican, it defines him perfectly, to be mute. And if you look at the scripture there in Daniel 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, the eyes of a man. This is a man. It's just speaking of the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And notice, a mouth speaking great things. I've crossed those words out, a mouth speaking great things, because after 9/29 next year, he's not going to be speaking anymore. He's finished. And this is what the prophet. This is my understanding of the prophecies. These dates, this will come to pass. Just as Daniel understood that 70 years were determined. I mean, these prophecies, they're sure. If you just for your notes, Deuteronomy 15 verse 1, at the end of 7 years, you shall have a release. Now, if you could turn to Deuteronomy 31 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9 says, so Moshe wrote down this law, and he gave it to the priest, the sons of Levi, who carried the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of release at the Feast of Tabernacles. So we just had this date here. Now Tabernacles, I mean, the next Day of Atonement, which starts the next year, which starts the seventh year, the year of release, you don't have to wait till the end of next year for this to be completed, this year of release. It's at the Feast of Tabernacles. When we read the law, for example, it's at the beginning of the year. It's not the end of the year. It's at the beginning of the year that this will occur. The year of release. At the beginning. So it's 5 days. Starts 5 days after the Day of Atonement next year. So Tabernacles 2016 will be this feast that will fulfill this law. The last time the law was fulfilled was Tabernacles 2009. And I guess I'm talking about the reading of the law that will be fulfilled at that time. But it's Yahweh's year of release. I'm just going to display this briefly because I think I've covered it in other slides here. 9/24 of this year, the Day of Atonement, the start of the sixth year, third tithe year begins. And then completion of Francis' 1,260 days, and then completion of his 1,290 days on 9/29/2016. And then 10/13/2016, the Day of Atonement, the start of the seventh year, the year of release. These next two slides are just pretty interesting to me. This is the announcement. This is the invitation of Secretary Boehner. We invited Pope Francis to address a joint meeting of Congress. And notice the date, March 13, 2014. Now that's 3.5 years after the Pope was elected. He was elected March 13, 2000. It's actually a year after he was elected. But anyway, this is the invitation, Pope Francis, to address the joint meeting of the United States Congress. Now, this next slide here is the connection I'd like to make with this, because we're talking about Yahweh's seven-year cycle here, overlaying the prophecies in these last days. So this one, Pope Francis invited to address U.S. Congress 3.5 years into the seven-year cycle of years. So exactly 3.5 years after this seven-year cycle began, which was 9/18/2010, exactly 3.5 years, it just seems like too much of a coincidence to not be significant. That 3.5 years, that date, 3/13/2014, U.S. House of Representative John Boehner issues invitation to Pope Francis to address or to appear before a joint session of the U.S. Congress. This date is exactly 3.5 years after the start of the first year of Yahweh's seven-year cycle of years. So Pope Francis, the first beast, invited to address the Congress of the Chief of the Nations, what Revelation 13 calls the second beast. And then, of course, on 9/24, this past Day of Atonement, he fulfilled this invitation here. So, next Day of Atonement starts the year 2017. It's the year of release, 2017. It means, it's the Hebrew word 2017, and it means an upset. You know, it means an upset. An upset in the governments of this world. And it, the scripture that came to mind when I see this 2017 here, it says in Revelation 11, verse 15, "And the seventh Malach, Yisroel Hawkins, sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Father and the Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." You know, this is the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Father. So, the last slide I have here. So we saw the results, the nuclear Holocaust, the results of Pope Francis' Holy Year of Mercy. This is the result of Yahweh's Year of Mercy. Sixth year began, or from 2015-16, this year we're in, to the year of release a year from now. If you look at the scripture, Malachi 4, verse 1, "For the day comes that will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. The day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, and it will leave them neither root nor branch." But notice verse 2, But for you who reverence Yahweh's name, the light of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth leaping like calves released from the stall. And notice you're going to walk on the ashes. You're not going to beat these people down. You're going to walk on their ashes. But this is not us rising up and putting down this system. No, in verse 3 here, you will tread down, or you will walk on down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, says Yahweh of hosts. So to conclude here, Yahweh's year of mercy, the sixth year, a third tithe year, that will benefit the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. It also benefits all of Yahweh's people who give Yahweh his second tithe at the great house of Yahweh. This sixth year will be like no other year in the experience in the history of mankind. We will witness the self-destruction of the Babylonian system. We will witness the end of the 42 months given to Pope Francis to make war against all holiness. This sixth year will be followed by Yahweh's seventh year, the year of release, when the house of Yahweh, under the leadership of Yahweh's last day's witness, Yishuel Abel Hawkins, will go forth rejoicing like calves released from the stall to serve Yahweh forever. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my honor and privilege to introduce the great Kohen Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, in today's news, we can see the mental illness and the mental inabilities of society today in making decisions. And there's a representative from Ohio. He's speaking about how there is a mental illness in America. And of course, he kind of ties this into mass shootings. And he's talking about there's a problem with mental illness in America. But I think President Obama, he explains it better with saying there's mental illness that is undealt with. And there's a report coming off from RT, and they've been reporting for a while. They call it Farmageddon. And it talks about the enormous pharmaceutical control over the American people and how Americans have become addicted to taking pills. And there's some very basic facts that I want everyone to make sure they notice, because these are things the House of Yahweh has brought for many, many years about how this will not fix problems. Of course, mental illness or confusion begins with sin. It can be through, as we read in Leviticus 18, relationships that are not proper. It can be through the eating of unclean food. It comes through sin, though. That's how we know this confusion takes place. But, of course, American pharmacies have found a way, not just American pharmacies, but America in general, have found a way to make profit from these diseases. Here in America, 1 in 5 Americans take one drug a day, so that's 20% of American population take at least one drug a day for mental health disorders. That's 20%. We now have in America more people dying from prescription drugs than auto accidents. That's an amazing number. And the pharmaceuticals themselves, the companies, they are now creating illnesses for capital gain. And listen very carefully to how it's explained, because they're talking about antipsychotic drugs alone. That's the biggest seller. Brings in $14 billion a year in annual sales. $14 billion a year. Now bring that back to the young man that just acquired I don't remember the drug. It was the parasitic drug for AIDS and cancer. We had it was Daraprim. He had raised that drug from $13.50 to $750, and the uprise that took place over that, and of course he's reduced his price now, but think about what we're doing here. the mental illness taking place, and pastors brought this for years about what's taking place with these pharmaceutical technicians and these pharmaceutical companies, and of course they support the government themselves, being big contributors. Well, of course, going on into bird flu, here's another situation where the House of Yahweh has brought for 40 plus years. They're now reporting that we have up to 45 million birds that have now been euthanized. And they're saying it will take years to get this back under control. But they haven't started getting it under control yet. So we're still not on the rebuilding part. We're still in the downward spiral with this. And then Listeria, of course, Bluebell ice cream was recently put out there for everyone to see about their unsanitary and the health conditions of the ice cream. A lady actually ate the ice cream as a patient in the hospital and died from eating it with Listeria. Now, the interesting thing is the FDA comes out and says that, well, we have to trust companies to keep their facility sanitary because we don't have enough money to watch over everyone. Now, of course, this is for profit, and they're openly admitting now that these companies are using unsanitary practices in producing food, and they're not manning it. They can't man it. They're saying they don't have enough money to man it. Well, once again, you have people that are 1 in 5 taking mental illness drugs trying to run these companies and also run the FDA probably for, not to be funny, but just speaking the facts as they come across in the news. And then mudslides in California. You know, we had the droughts and now they're having rain, 4 inches of rain an hour, and then look at the mudslides that comes. Now, this is something we should be aware to. Don't be caught up like society is. It rained and now we had torrential mudslides. No, we had severe droughts due to an abundance of sin. The water's been shut off there. And then when the rain comes, it's a breakage of what was supposed to have been created in a perfect way. Well, there's lacking something. And of course, there's a reaction. For every action, there's a reaction. So these mudslides are only the beginning of what we're going to see in California. When they get the little rain that they need so bad, they need a lot more than 4 inches. Well, it's not working out for them very well. And then there's a clip. There's no narration to it, but it's about Kosovo. And remember Kosovo in 1999, NATO come in through a bombing campaign and helped them to separate from Serbia. Remember, Serbia is backed by Russia. NATO, of course, United States being part of NATO and other 28 countries, they came in and Kosovo declared its independence in 2008, even though it's not recognized by every country. It's looking to become part of the EU, and they're in a lot of negotiations on how to do that, and they're trying to give things back to Serbia, but they're in a disagreement. Watch what the parliament does. When they disagree on something, they tear gas each other. And it shows them in Parliament, when something comes up they don't want to talk about, the tear gas canisters go everywhere. They put guards on the door the last time this took place, and they still got tear gas in. So just watch this. And these are leaders. These are leaders making decisions about what is supposed to take place to bring peace. And then, of course, Gaza over around the Temple Mount, it's getting more and more deadly, shootings, stabbings, the tensions increasing. And then we close with Russia and the United States. Watch very carefully. Listen to what they say. You have Syria, which is right there where the River Euphrates comes from Turkey through Syria. You have Turkey now shooting, which is a NATO member. They're shooting down drones. Russia says it's not theirs. America says it is. But America is funding the rebels and Russia's bombing the rebels. You literally have a war, but they're using pawns. It's like a chess match they're playing with here. But Russia and America, listening to the threats, listen very closely to the threats that they're offering to each other. Very soon, you're going to see them act, just as been brought for many years, and this nuclear war will take place. If we could go ahead and play the news. If everyone would please stand at this time, I'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. Hey, we got a crowd here today. Wow. We're going to have to enlarge the sanctuary. Yeah. Praise Yahweh. Let's go. Hey. We're all yours, Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And his protection also is getting bad out there, as you can see. I was just handed an article that I asked for yesterday about Ebola bacteria, Ebola virus, that it's now, they know that it's a STD. Bless their hearts, we only told them that 40 years, and now they finally find it out for themselves. Maybe they're scientists, maybe they'll believe they're scientists now. Scripture shows it. You know, Ebola, that comes from unclean animals, you know, like pork. Yeah, that's the one we eat. Take it into your blood. Turn there quickly. Isaiah 65, and associate that, because it's great to have this in mind, because, you know, they pack, they put their unclean products along with the clean, and of course pork is full of trichna. This Ebola, you know, being a STD, they found out now that it is an STD, which means, if you remember all the work I went to showing you several sermons about the microorganisms and how this must get into mankind in order to cross with mankind's genes and bring forth then through the semen to someone else. Well, now it can bring forth from the STDs, but it also can bring it forth from saliva and, you know, the Hollywood kissing thing that's going on all over the world. This Isaiah 65, Yahweh says in verse 2, I've spread out my hands all day to a rebellious people. Well, they're still rebellious. The whole world is rebelling against Yahweh's laws, of the moral laws, the health laws. I wrote a letter a few weeks ago that about health being as simple as following Yahweh's laws, a few of Yahweh's laws. I didn't expect so many newspapers to run that thing, but apparently it's something that the people were wanting. And, of course, we have the answers. But they normally start off, you know, newspapers with our articles. They normally start off as about 45,000 different news medias running our articles. And now this one started off, I mean, just in a few hours now. It was turned in Thursday night, which Friday would be the first day, or maybe Sabbath, be the first day of it. And it's up to 116,794 hits already. So you can see that the people are seeking answers, and they're not getting them in from the doctors, the scientists. That's all a money-making scheme, like Christmas and Halloween. By the way, you can get Halloween suits for your dogs now, and cats. And if you got them on a chain, you can take them out trick-or-treating. They're trying to organize it where you can, if you're allergic to meat products, they have a vegetable section for you out trick-or-treating. And where they say, if you're allergic to vegetables, they have other things like meats, pork, and such, where you can get your Ebola out there now. But he says, I'll spread out my hands all day to this rebellious people who walk in a way which is not right, not righteous, the word should be, after their own thoughts. That's what you see in the world today, fantasy mostly. They call it democracy in the governments. I call it hypocrisy in the governments. You know, they claim to be one thing and they're another. But this is what the world is made up of right now. And you may as well face it. You know, it's not going to get any better. It's getting worse every day. And the doctors keep promising vaccines that will make you well, keep you from getting sick, which is all lies, and they know it, but it's a money-making scheme to where they keep bringing in more money. Their love for money never ceases, and the love for money is a root of all evil, as the Savior said. But he says, who walk in a way that's not right, verse 3, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick. Sacrifices is food, as you might know, and every time you serve a meal, that is a sacrifice. Now, of course, a sacrifice can be offered to Yahweh, and you know, it's eaten by man, but it's offered to Yahweh to use in his work. When you offer it to him before you pray, that's what giving thanks, or say grace, as the Christians call it. Will you say grace? Yeah, grace. Well, grace, of course, is a god too, or a goddess, and the world is geared to God worship, and that's more hypocrisy. You know, they pretend they're worshiping the Creator, when in actual fact they're worshiping gods. The Creator's not a god. He never claimed to be a god. He's your heavenly Father that really cares for mankind and is forming a kingdom from mankind. That plan has not ceased. It's about to be completed, in fact. And I'm looking forward to the day, but not until Matthew 24:29, or Matithya as it should be, 24:29, is completed. That's the nuclear wars that darken the sun. But that's very close to us now. You know, Russia and America, they're fighting each other in Syria right now. When they start fighting each other directly, you're going to see China, of course, get into it, along with the other nations. You'll see a third of the people killed by this nuclear wars, as Revelation shows, gives you the colors of the mushroom cloud there in that chapter. It's in our book, The Mark of the Beast. That Mark of the Beast was written in 1976. Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins will have you some things on that, but I told him this week to work on. But 1976, which is 39 years ago, is when I published the book. We, the House of Yahweh, published that book, sent it out. Wasn't very many of us then. I think there's only 13 left in the house. And we were being persecuted severely at that time. It got worse afterwards, as Yahweh promised it would. And I became the worst hated man on the face of the earth, and was proven in their courts to be the worst hated man. And I knew I was going to be, because that's what the Scripture shows that I would be, for telling the truth. Same reason they hated the Savior, because he exposed their sins, as Yochanan 15, 21 and 22, I believe it is. He says in verse 4, who assemble and spend nights keeping Halloween. Halloween, now the Pope wants to start calling that Holyween. Holyween, and they have the Holy Wieners, by the way, the Holy Wieners, for those who can't eat vegetables. I'm not kidding. They're organizing this thing. This is a money-making scheme. It's even surpassed December the 25th, the lie of the sun god Baal, December the 25th. Anyone can look these things up. You know, December the 25th was chosen because it was the sun god Baal's birthday. And they pretended that it was the Savior. They don't use the Savior's name. They took his name out and replaced it with two gods, Jesus and Christ. That's in English. Oh, Zeus and Christos. But all of these things can be checked out. Most any encyclopedia has them. I remember years ago, the Compton Encyclopedia, I was selling as a young man. I was selling it in the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible, but the Compton Encyclopedia had all of this information. Botanica did too. The Catholic Church bought out Compton So it's probably, most of that stuff is probably deleted. So if you get an old copy, you would get this information before they took it out. They have a way of doing that, you know. They took the book of Yahweh, Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. When they removed the name Yahweh and Yahshua from the Holy Scriptures, of course, they put that now says in the only authorized version that the king would authorize, the King James Version, that's a rendition of the book of Yahweh that was in the house of Yahweh, 23rd Psalm, I will dwell in the house of Yahweh. And now in the King James, it says house of the Lord. Well, of course, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, admits to removing these names from the book of Yahweh renditions, not the book of Yahweh, but the renditions of the book of Yahweh. The book of Yahweh didn't come back into effect till 1987. And it's here today. It's here to stay, too. It won't be, Satan won't destroy it anymore, nor the house. The house, Yahweh, Yahshua said, this time the gates of hell will not prevail against his house. And that the only house established was with Yahshua, his high priest, and the branch, the one called the branch, Zechariah 6, and if you got the Israel Says program on your computer, that's a very needful program for anyone. They're getting them. You can get it on your telephone now. Yeah, just type in any question and push a button, and the answer comes up to you. All the research I've done for 40 years. That book on Mark of the Beast, I was writing that 40 years ago. 40 years in the wilderness. Does that ring any bells? You know, Moshe, 40 years in the wilderness. He trained for 40 years before Yahweh would send him back to get the people. He became very humble then. He decided he wasn't able to do it. And Yahweh says, I know you're not, but I'm going to help you. Here he was, 80 years old. He could still get out of bed. You know, someone said that hop, skip, and jump. Oh, let me see. I got the stack. I got to show you this. I slipped that in so I wouldn't forget it. The kingdom of Yahweh is just a hope, skip away. Hope, skip, and jump away. During the feast, when I got very joyous with the young children up here on the stage, and I was hopping and skipping with them more than they were, I think. When you get as old as I am, you're not supposed to be able to do such goofy things. Now they're wanting it on television. They're wanting to put that disc on the television, so if you don't have any objections, it's going to be there. Yeah, we will it. This other that was, now this one was on the bread sack this morning, the Sabbath bread, which I hope everyone's enjoying with us. Rich or poor, come and eat. You know, there is no prize. But this one was on something special that they gave me this morning. It says, we used to miserably seek after silver and gold. Now we are joyfully satisfied with 1 cent. One cent. Well, of course, for those who don't know it, that's a prophecy prophesying the 1 cent, which High Priest Yahshua Messiah prophesies galore on that, and he sets his high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, teaching them what? Hebrews 10:16, putting the laws of Yahweh in their heart. Well, wasn't that done away with? Yes, it was, by the Pope and all the world. That's why they're in such a miserable mess right now. That's why sickness is being spread all over the world. thousands and thousands of children being born with cancer and all kinds of STDs. Yes, cancer is a STD. Well, believe it or not, it's being transferred from one family to another, one person to another. And they know this. They know it, but they don't want to tell the people for some reason. This article I have, you can get it on the internet now. Just look up Ebola. But it comes from, it's a STD now. And they know this for sure. The scientists have pinned it down. They've proven that it's an STD. And that it remains in the blood. And you can spread this as long as it's in your blood, the article says. And that's what I want you to see here. Isaiah 65:4, who assemble and spend nights keeping Halloween, that's memorials to the dead. They used to call it All Saints Day, and then they had too many days as taken off, too many of their saints as declaring a day for. So they wiped all of that out, and they said, let's just take this one day and make it All Saints Day, and we'll worship all these dead bodies. Nothing left there but bones now, you know, and they're about gone too. But they're still worshiping those people. The dead know not anything, your Bible said. The secret to salvation is believing the Holy Scripture. Not like Christianity now. They say only believe. The Savior said only believe, speaking of someone who he was about to heal and saying this, only believe. And they took those words and turned them around where they said believe only. That's what the world wanted to hear. They wouldn't have been deceived if they hadn't, because in Luke 24:25 says, you're fools if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken and live by those laws. He said, don't even think that I've come to destroy the law, which means somebody was out there trying to convince them that he was going to destroy the law. Well, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, who is now Catholics on the seven hills of Rome, Yahweh says, I'll take you beyond Babylon. Well, he did. He took them to Rome and gave them free will. And that's where they are now, changing the laws, of course, and telling the world what to think. And you saw a great example of that, ruling the world through the Supreme Court of America. That's the reason I say it's not democracy anymore. It's a hypocrisy. They're pretending that they are keeping church and religion and politics separate, but they're not. They're teaching all of this in the schools, but you can't put the Ten Commandments in the schools. You know, that's teaching religion. Sodomy is not a religion. It is. It's shown in the scriptures to be their religion. Sodom and Gomorrah were both an example of Yahweh's eternal fire that he has in reserve. And Yeshua said he's going to send his Malachim right after the nuclear strikes and darken the sun. Then he's going to start his kingdom here on earth. He's going to actually put it in action to rule the world and then the universe. But he says he'll send his Malachim and they will search out, get rid of all, all who are unrighteous, all who are evil, who follow the evil of the gods. Genesis 3:5, do this and you'll be like the gods, evil. That's in your own Bible. It's even in the King James Version. The altered, the rendition of the book of Yahweh. Well, they spend nights, right now they spend the nights trick-or-treating. That's the thing, it's called catching on, big time. And we've had people leave the house of Yahweh because we said, no, we don't participate in God worship in any kind. And this is God worship. But notice the rest of it. Morals to the dead who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their blood. Well, this article, if you'll look it up and read it, I don't want to take the time to read it now, but if you'll look it up and read it, it shows you it's in the blood. It comes from unclean animals and specifically names the pig, swine. The broth is in their blood, and they can give that Ebola now to anyone as long as that stays in their blood, and they don't know how long that it stays in the blood. They had a guess of 62 days, but then another group of scientists says that's a bunch of baloney. Said it stays much longer than that, and they proved it, but they don't know exactly how long it will stay. It looks like it's staying from generation to generation is what I see, and what I see in the scriptures too. Verse 7, you might pay attention here, and verse 5, notice that these people are holy people. They say, stand by yourself because we're holier than you. So this is a religion that's teaching this, teaching the people to do this, which it came from Egypt, but this Egyptian religion that now sits on the seven hills of Rome has never stopped since the 12 tribes brought it out of Egypt. They spread it to the entire world. And then verse 7, it shows the word iniquities. You need to remember that word because we're going to see quite a bit of that in the next few sermons here. In the times, in this time of escalating explosive troubles, the secret to life eternal is being preached again and offered to the world again. It's actually being offered to everyone, and Yahweh is proving. That's the reason the persecution is here, too, to prove. Let's turn over to Micaiah. If you're carrying a King James version, that's Micah. In the King James, Micaiah has Yahweh's name on the end, and that's the reason, that YAH. We have a bunch of new people list here today. And praise Yahweh, and welcome. Hope to meet you one day. We also have, I was told this morning, about 18,000 watching this live right now. right. It's probably more than that now because the numbers are going up pretty rapidly because of the... different reach-out programs that Yahweh has. We are going to win this battle. praise Yahweh. Yahweh shows that. That's the reason I know it. And we are going to be protected. The house of Yahweh is going to be protected. They would have destroyed the house of Yahweh a long time ago if Yahweh had not been protecting it. They would have killed my family in Oklahoma if Yahweh hadn't have protected that family, and he shows that he did. But if you remember, the same thing occurred with Yahshua Messiah. When he was born, then the righteous king of Yahdah sent his soldiers out and killed all the firstborn up to 2 or 3 years of age in hopes of getting rid of Yahshua. And, of course, Yahweh said, take him to Egypt and raise him there. Well, that prophecy showed that he would call his son out of Egypt. He already predicted all of these moves. Now, think of that, how Yahweh could predict, cause his prophets to write about this before it ever occurred. Thousands of years before it occurred. And he had his prophets write about it and say, I'll call my son out of Egypt. Well, he had to get to Egypt first, but he had to be born in a certain place where Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun of Galilee, he had to be born there. But then he was called out of Egypt, so he had to go to Egypt. And of course, due to the hatred for this child, knowing what he was going to grow up to be. Satan really wanted to get rid of him quickly. She wanted to get rid of me. That's the reason they had a so-called Holocaust in Germany. And Hitler in his own words said he was doing the bidding of the Catholic Church in killing all these people. My ancestors were slipped away, brought to America, came in directions you wouldn't believe, and on land that we're sitting on today. I didn't even know it. It's so amazing how it all took place, and now we're seeing all of it. And if you don't forget to look up the numbers and all of this. But now he's saying, in this time of trouble, when we're having diseases everywhere spread throughout the earth, that was predicted. Yeshua himself predicted it, but it was predicted by the prophets before that. Also, Revelation shows, Revelation 9, it shows, along with the nuclear wars that will darken the sun, cause mighty earthquakes to take place. Now, that's in addition to all the drought, raining mud and hail, and Abilene. I keep thinking of them praying for rain, and they got $800 million in hail damage for praying for rain. And I said, well, why don't you limit your gods? They just don't know what you want, you know. They're sending you water, that's all they, and that's about as smart as they were when they were on earth living, too. I said, if you're going to ask their God for rain, why don't you ask him for, say, 3 inches? And see if he fulfills that prophecy. Give him a particular number to go by and see if he can do it. If he can't, do you still want to trust him for salvation? I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. It's more serious than a few drops of rain. But if he can't answer your prayer there, why would you put your life in his hands? And that's what they have done. And Yahweh showed in the first three chapters of Genesis, this is what was going to take place. The first four chapters of Genesis shows you this. We'll be covering it in detail as we continue here. But in Genesis 3, Satan comes and says, has Yahweh said this? And Eve said, yes, he said this. And she said, well, you're not going to die. You have an eternal soul and you won't die because you can't die. You know, you're going to be like the gassy gods, you know, somewhere out there. Well, of course, Satan believed this, and they're still believing the same lies today, even though the Savior himself says you're going to perish. 1 Yochanan 3, verse 10 or 11 says that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He didn't name everything there, but he says no murderer. That means you don't have eternal life and you're going to perish. Malachi says it's not going to leave them neither root nor branch. The sinners, the ones who keep practicing breaking Yahweh's laws. He says in 1 John 3:4 that righteousness, either you practice righteousness and become righteous, and anyone who practices righteousness is classified as righteous in that chapter. Those who practice breaking those laws are classified as belonging to Satan, the devil. Now, anyone can read this. Any Christian can read this in the King James Version. It says the same thing. He who practices righteousness is righteous, but those who practice sin is of the devil. You belong to whom you obey, Romans 6:16 said. And of course, Satan says, do this and you will be evil like the gods, showing that the gods are evil. If you practice righteousness, you will be as Yahweh himself and can enter into the city of Yahweh, into the kingdom, is Revelations 22, verses 12 through 14, the Savior doing the speaking, said, and Yochanan wrote it for us. Blessed are those who keep his laws, for they have right to enter into life. All the rest are cast out. Matthew 13, 41 said, write that down and read it later. 13:41 through, I think, about 43, something like that. He says, I'm going to send my messengers, the King James Version wrote angels, as if there's some kind of a spirit being up there that's going to come down and do all this work. And that's another falsehood. Yahweh is working through man. Man is going to do this, the Son of Man. Yahshua says, I'm the Savior because I am the Son of Man. Because I'm the Son of Man. He couldn't be that if he was anything else. He couldn't be the Son of Man that paid for our sins, our past sins. He couldn't be unless he was the Son of Man. That was the prophecy of the Savior, Yahshua Messiah. If you will believe all that the prophets have spoken and follow me in this program in the next few weeks or months, and remember what I bring today and remember what I bring next week and so forth, and put it all together, you'll start understanding the Holy Scriptures. But it's here a little, there a little. And you don't read it like a book, like a storybook. You've got to search this out and you've got to put it together. And you got to know what goes where. You need inspiration also. Yahshua said, flesh and blood only has not shown this to you. Which means that Yahweh was inspiring Kepha to believe what Yahshua had told them, had taught them in Galilee. Well, here in Micaiah, Yahweh says, in the last days. The Savior called this the last generation. In Matthew 24, verses 33 and 34, he said that generation's not going to pass till all of this is going to be fulfilled. And he showed in verse 29 that was the time period of the nuclear bomb that could darken the sun. We're there. We're here. Yes. The means of darkening the sun began in 1934. Knowledge was increased that brought about that means of darkening the sun, the nuclear bomb. Knowledge was increased starting in 1934. There's two 1934s. The Last Witness was born in 1934. All three of them had to be in this generation for this to take place, because the Last Witness is prophesied by the Savior. He's the one that's the high priest over the house of Yahweh that we're fixing to read. He's the one, he's the high priest. That's Hebrews 10:21. He's the high priest over the house of Yahweh. And I think the King James says Lord's house because they removed the words Yahweh. Get you a book of Yahweh. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. It's here again. It's here for you. Isaiah 34:16. Search out the book of Yahweh. The book of Yahweh was taken from you, as prophecy said it would be. They actually destroyed the temple. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians did. They sent their general Titus to destroy the temple and remove all the artifacts and take it to Rome. The Ark of Titus. Look up Titus. All you got to do is look up Titus. General Titus. He took everything to Rome, including the Book of Yahweh. It was still there, and people been fighting to get it in the hands of the people. They had an ulterior motive. Of course, they knew it was going to sell like hotcakes. And they're going to make a lot of money if they could just get this printed and out to the people. That's the reason they wanted to get it there. I think there was a few that Yahweh inspired to push it, but the most of it was money. Others wasn't. The British Bible Society, they actually were used to pass this out. That's where I think my family got the first King James Version. And the Bible was kept hidden from the people. That is the Book of Yahweh for over 1,500 years by the Roman Catholic Church. The same evil religious organization that follows, that worships, serves the evil, the gods, being like the gods, evil today. And they worship them as saints. They call them saints. And they pray to them, hoping to get a prayer answered. They haven't yet. They haven't got any prayers answered so far. You know, they got hail every time they asked for rain. This is the joke. It's almost like a joke that Satan is playing on mankind, showing how stupid he is and how that Satan can just maneuver him every way that she wants to. Well, Yahweh says she can't do that to his house. Right. And there's a great reason there. You know, Yahweh has a high priest over the house of Yahweh. He's the Son of Man, but he has limited powers right now to help the house of Yahweh and to help those who he wants as his messengers. He calls you here for that reason, by the way. Yes, and you can become a messenger of his. And he said, I'm going to send my messengers out. This is Matthew 13:41, I think, through 43. And they're going to gather together those who are wicked, who are evil, who are filled with iniquity, who practice breaking Yahweh's laws. And you, if you look there, you'll find out that he's not going to fool around with them. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, he said, in that time of trial period. Yes, Revelations 20 shows the same thing. I call it the Great White Throne Judgment, where everyone who's ever lived will be resurrected and brought before Yahweh to be judged. And those who have done wickedly, they're going to be judged by their own works, he said. And those who will not practice following Yahweh's laws will be, there'll be neither root nor branch left of them. Well, for this work in the last days, it stopped when the 12 disciples were all killed. We have records of 11 of the 12 disciples, their death. The only record that we don't have of the death is Yochanan, which they translated John, who in 96 A.C.E. in prison was given this book of Revelations to write for us so we could understand things that must shortly come to pass. The book of Yahweh was sealed to mankind. Sealed. Not only was it sealed to where they couldn't understand it, but it was sealed up in a vault where they couldn't get to it for over 1,500 years. And Yahweh names the fourth beast in Daniel, the 12th chapter, from 7 on through, saying they're going to change my laws now. They're going to stop you from keeping the feast days and the Sabbath day. Revelations 12 and 13 shows you. 13 especially shows the two-horned beast with his Catholic and Protestant. And they're going to start trying. They're already using their politicians to say, go to church on Sunday. Well, they're going to try to enforce this. And Yahweh shows this. He's showing you in advance what's going to take place. This is very, very close now. That's the reason the Pope came to America in the first place, to get this started, to resurrect the the so-called Holy Roman Empire so they could have power to kill any of those who would not accept this mark on their right hand or their forehead. As Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 13th chapter, and chapter 31 also show, those three chapters. Well, here now, in the last days, Yahweh said, in all of this, the house of Yahweh was taken away, it was destroyed, every stone removed, as the prophet said before this. If you look up to verse 12, Micah 3, verse 12 there, you'll see that Mount Zion is going to be plowed like a field. Yeshua said not one stone would be left upon top of another that will not be cast down. Now that so-called ended the house of Yahweh when this was done. Then they went out after these stragglers with the Roman army and they killed them. Many of them were taken to Rome and killed because they wouldn't stop practicing the laws of Yahweh. They weren't persecuting Christians. This was Christians that was persecuting the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh, and that is the tree of life. There's two trees in that garden, remember? Two trees. The other one is flourishing, as Yahweh said it would, but now it's falling. It's troubles that it has created in this 6,000 years of sin. Those troubles are now catching up with everyone, and they don't know what to do. Political problems, the weapons of mass destruction, they know that when they start, there's a likelihood that no life would be left alive. And that's what the scientists, their own scientists, are telling them. They don't know what to do, so they're going to follow the Catholic Church some more. The ones that got them into this mess to begin with. They're cut off from Yahweh, as Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 show. Their help is in their gods. That's the ones they're going to pray to. But Yahweh says they're going to be cursing their gods because there's no help. Isaiah 44 and 45 show there is no power except Yahweh. You will learn that. You'll see it. Everyone that's listening to my voice today, if you will just pay attention to what takes place in the next few months, you're going to see the hell break loose all over the world. You're going to see that they're groping like blind people in the dark. Do you ever go into a dark room and start trying to hunt the doorknob? Boy, that whole house is wall to wall. Well, that's the way they are in searching for answers, and there is no answer for them. The scientists keep saying, we're going to have a pill that'll cure this. They got them now. It was so surprising to me that over 20% of the people, 20% of the people in America is taking pills because they're crazy. These are for the mental problems. 20% of them are taking pills. A big majority of that has got guns and they're wanting to kill someone. When they run out of pills, or maybe they took too many pills, then they go out killing. This is always the mess they get into when they break Yahweh's laws. There's no way that any man could run this earth successfully without Yahweh. There's no way that a man or a woman could successfully run a household without Yahweh. That's the reason the houses, the families are broken up. There's disagreement, there's fighting, there's hatred, there's bickering, and of course the divorce. You know, that's all coming with the Christian way that the Roman Catholic Church presented. Now, if that wasn't enough, if that doesn't show you enough, and you think, well, this is democracy, you know, the majority rules, you got to be the craziest person in America. Majority doesn't rule. The majority of the people do not want their children taught sodomy. The majority of them. And it's a huge majority that doesn't want this. So what does the Catholic Church do? They tell the Supreme Court of America, you get this law through, and it's going to be taught in the schools, and it's going to be taught in the courts, and they will enforce it. They'll enforce it with their municipal system. And that's what's occurring right now. You think they can't enforce the Sabbath day? They've already started. Not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. Exodus 20. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. Sunday is what they're going to enforce. Sunday is the birthday, is the day, the Lord's Day, as they call it. And that's what it says in the Catholic Bible now. Remember to celebrate the Lord's Day. They changed the commandment from remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh. The seventh day. And he blessed the seventh day. Hebrews, they say, well, it's done away with in book 2. They call it the New Testament. Hebrews 4 tells you a different story. It says they're lying. It says there still remains the keeping of the Sabbath for the people of Yahweh. The King James Version, the King James Version changed it just a little, but if you'll notice their center reference, they admit it. If you notice the original translation in the book of Yahweh, it makes it very clear, but even in the King James Version, you can see that. That's what Yeshua, our high priest, is teaching in Hebrews 10:16. I'm not only teaching this, Yeshua says, I'm putting it in their hearts, and in their minds will I write these laws. Yes. Did you know that was written by the prophets before that, before Hebrews? Yes. It's a beautiful thing what the prophets have written, and they want to knock all of that out and give you, say, well, the New Testament is what we live with today. That's our new covenant. And, of course, it's not a new covenant at all. It's a continuation of the covenant, the original covenant, of putting my laws into your heart, and in their inward parts I will write them, and they will learn war no more. Micaiah 4, 1 through 3. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you!